بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home of the receiver, last week we discussed 9 or 10 reasons and causes for the suffering that the ummah is going through, and the ilaj, the remedy that was prescribed to us by Hazrat Mufti Abdul Rahim Lajpuri Sahab Rahmatullahi Alayhi few years back. Today we'll discuss inshallah the importance of ittiba'i sunnat, following the sunnah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullahi alayhi was one of the very great pious predecessors. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hind, his name was Mawlana Mahmud al-Hasan rahmatullahi alayhi of Deoband. We don't have time now to go into his whole biography and the type of caliber of the personality he had, the sacrifices he made. When he was taken as a prisoner by the British and he was taken to Malta, it's a long incident, the suffering, the torture he underwent in Malta. Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali was his student, and in Shaykh al-Hind Rahmatullah Ali in Malta he was tortured to such an extent that when he passed away and when his body was brought for ghusl, the people giving ghusl realized that they saw that he had no flesh left on his body. And that occasion, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali was his very close student. Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali insisted that he must also be taken to prison because his ustad was taken to prison. The love, the bond he had. In one kitab it is mentioned that at night, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali, who is a student, the shagird, would keep 2 bottles of water, cold water, there was no hot water. The entire night he'd keep it close onto his chest so that he could keep it a bit warm. So at the time of tahajjud, Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullah alayhi, his ustad can have a little bit warm water for tahajjud, for wuzu. Any case, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullah alayhi cried on the occasion when the ghusl was given, and he said it was a secret which Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullah alayhi told me not to divulge, that they used to take him in a very confined room, the British in the prison, and they would place a rod, red hot rod, onto his back, and they would beat him and torture him, and they would say, they just write a fatwa in favor of the British. He would fall unconscious, and when he would regain his consciousness, he would say, I am the waris, the heir of Bilal Habshi radiallahu ta'ala. And Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, when he was dragged in the scorching sands of Makkah, he would say, Ahad Dawan Allah, Ahad Dawan Allah. They would beat him profusely and they would hit him and torture him, but he never gave up. He said, I too will never write a fatwa in favor of the British. When he was released, of course, I spoke about his mort, but when he was released from the prison, then he said, whilst in prison, being in solitude, he should ponder and think and reflect. And he says that there are 2 causes that I have understood for the zawal of this ummah. That this ummah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is suffering a decline. 2 reasons. One, he says, iftiraq. Iftiraq means complete fragmentation, disunity. One is ikhtilaf. Ikhtilaf means difference of opinion. I have a difference of opinion, you have a difference of opinion. Of course, if it's based on Quran, Hadith, Sunnah, then that is Rahmah. But when it leads to iftiraq, iftiraq means complete disunity. I'm no longer talking to you, you're no longer talking to me, we've cut off relationships, we begin to fight. This is what the ummah is suffering, fragmentation, wherever we go. And the second reason he gave is that we have abandoned the Quran. Recitation of the Quran, pondering over the meaning of the Quran, bringing the Quran into our lives, and preaching the Quran. These two reasons he gives. So respected brothers and elders, what is required for us now? Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahab Damat Barakatuhum had mentioned in one of his bayans. He said there was a time that this ummah enjoyed glory, respect, izzat. There was peace that prevailed when Rasulullah brought his way of life into this world and Sahaba adopted his system, his way of life. They took him as a role model, and in all facets of life, in all walks of life, in every harkat, in every movement, harakat, sakanat, in his akhlaq, muamalat, muasharat, ibadat, his entire life, they brought that system into their lives. When they made ittiba', when they followed genuinely, truly the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnat means his complete way of life. The manner in which he ate, the manner in which he slept, the manner in which he made his ibadah, the manner in which he performed his hajj, zumrah, the manner in which he made his i'tikaf, the manner in which he read Quran, the manner in which he performed his salat, nikah, eating, sleeping, dealing, when in society, how he dealt with the slaves, with the servants, with the rich people, with the poor people, with his sahaba, with the different delegations that would go and come. So it was a complete way of life. When sahaba adopted this way of life, and they clung onto it, they adhered to it. There are so many incidents mentioned in the kitabs. We don't have time, it's short time after Isha. When they brought this into their lives, then they found the real ruhaniyat, nuraniyat. They found Islam got such izzat, such honor and such glory. There was peace that prevailed at that time. Now if we require that type of peace, and that type of izzat of Islam and glory of Islam, then we have to go back to that particular way, and that is ittiba'i sunnat. There is no other way. Ittiba', complete following. Ittiba' in Arabic means following. To the following of the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, sunnat means his complete way of life. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, son of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. He would follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam completely. His day and night will be in accordance to the pattern of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To such an extent that after Rasulullah left this world, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is going on a journey, on a hajj journey. People are traveling with him. Obviously he is a great person, he's a leader. And as he is traveling, suddenly he makes like he needs to relieve himself. He sees a certain place and he goes to that particular spot. He sits down, doesn't do anything, and he stands up. People are looking at him. What is he up to? Then he goes further. He's riding a camel and there is no tree or any branch, but he puts his head under and he continues. Sahaba or Tabi'in, they asked him, what are you doing? He said, that's first place where I stopped. When I traveled with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then at that particular spot, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relieved himself. I too am making ittiba. Now look at the ittiba, the level of his ittiba. I too, on this journey, even though I have no need to relieve myself, but I sat on that spot. Then this particular place, there was a tree. And there was a branch, and Rasulullah was riding the camel, and to avoid the branch, he lowered his head and went under, and I am doing the same. Now this type of ittiba sahaba had. No questions asked. Why, if, but, let us look at the times, make some ta'wil, interpretations. There is a difference between us and sahaba. When they follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they never questioned Rasulullah sallam. Immediately, whatever hukam he gave, if he showed displeasure, they refrained from it. If he showed happiness, they would do it. One sahabi was wearing a gold ring, not permissible for men. Nabi Karim sallam pulled it out and threw it down. يَعْمِدُ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى جَمْرَةٍ مِنْ نَارٍ وَكَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. What is the matter of you? What is the matter with you that you are taking a coal of Jahannam, a brand of Jahannam, and placing it on your finger? Then Nabi Karim went away. Some of his companions, friends told him, well, خُذْ خَاتَمَكْ, take your ring, تَتَمَتَّعْ بِهِ, and use it for some other thing. You don't have to wear his ring, use it for some other thing. He says, when my Nabi has thrown it down, wallahi, I will never pick it up. So whatever Hukam Rasul gave them, whatever was his way of life, Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in brought it into their lives. Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, Bay'atul Ridwan, Sahaba accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were in Medina. Desire was to go to Makkah to perform Umrah. They hadn't seen Baytullah for some time now. And Rasulullah goes. All they wanted to do is just make Umrah and go back to Medina. But the kuffar mushrikeen refused, stopped them. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Uthman, you go. He had some family and some type of contact. Perhaps you'll be able to convince them. Uthman radiallahu anhu goes, and the famous story then, there was a rumor that they have assassinated Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately takes bay'at on the hands of the sahaba, bay'atul ridwan. Quran Sharif talks about it. He placed his hand, sahaba placed the hand, pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he took his other hand. He said, this is the hand of Uthman in his absence. Uthman radiallahu anhu say that that hand of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that occasion was far better than my own hand being there. Nonetheless, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, it was just a rumor that they assassinated him. But when he went there, initially the kuffar began to mock at him, laugh at him, until his cousin Aban bin Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala gave him amnesty and protection. So the moment somebody gave you amnesty and protection, then nobody would harm you. Aban bin Sa'id looks at Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and says, Uthman, your izar is quite high, above your ankles. Doesn't look too good here. They look down upon a person whose izar is so high. So why don't you lower your garment? You have come here, lower your garment. Doesn't look bad in society. Uthman radiallahu anhu replied that I have seen my Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raising his izar, nisfu saq, to half the shin or above the ankle. I will never abandon the sunnah of my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were sahaba. That's the difference between them and between us. Last week I mentioned the famous story of Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala when he's eating with his khadim and many other so-called high-profile kings and other rulers were invited, and when that one luqma fell off, then immediately he picked it up and he dusted it and he put it in his mouth, and others began to frown at him. So his khadim nudged him. They're all looking at you. So he said, should I abandon the sunnah of my beloved Rasulullah for these fools? See, sahaba loved the sunnah. Why they loved the sunnah of Rasulullah? Because they loved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a person loves any person, dearly, genuinely, fully, wholeheartedly, then all the actions of that person, his way of life, his manner of speaking, everything you'll want to imitate. We have in our times, many youngsters or many people, they go crazy over soccer. And alhamdulillah, I've never been involved in any sports. I don't know anything, don't ask me any players. All I know that the people fight for two teams that play. It's a war at home and people start arguing and it's the qiyamah take place if your team lost. So any case, what happens with the youngster? He likes that one team. So that team begins to love and admire that team. That's my team. His room also he'll decorate with the team name, put posters of those players. He'll want to wear a t-shirt exact like that color and that team. Eventually refine his hairstyle also. If one particular now, that one person in that team becomes his idol, his hero. So if he's got spiky hair, this child will insist, he'll tell his father, I want that kind of hair. Why? Because he's got muhabbat for that person. The poet says, ta'asir ilaha wa anta tuzhiru hubba. هذا لعمري في القياس بديع لو كان حبك صادقا لأطعته إن المحب لمن يحب مطيع. He says, you are disobeying Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you claim that you love Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all claim that. Who doesn't claim that? He says, I can't understand because you're disobeying Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet you are claiming I love them. I can't understand this analogy. It doesn't make sense to me. If you were true in your claim, you would have followed Shari'at. You would have followed what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. You would have followed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. A lover is obedient to his beloved. Whatever the beloved demands, the lover will follow that. So this is what I mentioned in the beginning, if you want that type of glory that prevailed in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, then in this zamana, there is only this wide solution that go back to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make full ittiba' of sunnah. Ittiba' is sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's be honest, when we come into the masjid, how many of us have that khiyal and that diyan that I must enter the masjid with my right foot? When I'm leaving with my left foot. When I'm eating with my right hand. Or we're so busy eating with a fork and knife and try to impress somebody else and their lifestyle. How often if we've gone for some meeting and if we're eating or something and there are non-Muslims there, then we abandon the sunnah because ma'adallah, we feel shy to practice on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our mashayikh have mentioned dar asal, iman ki kami ki alamat hai. It's a sign of a deficiency in the iman of the person. Your iman is less. Your iman is deficient. May Allah give us a kamil iman. When we are sleeping, how many of us follow the sunnat method of sleeping? Do we know the sunnat method of sleeping? There are so many masnoon du'as before sleeping even. How many of us perform wudu before sleeping? Sleeping on the right hand side. There are ajeeb du'as recited. If you read those du'as and you pass away in the night, then you die with iman. Die with iman. When we wake up in the morning, how many of us bear in our mind the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Washing your hands first, before doing anything else. The du'as that are recited. Entering the toilet with your left leg. Coming out with the right leg. Du'a before entering the toilet. Du'a after entering, coming out of the toilet. When we make wudu, there are du'as. The manner of wudu. What do we do? We say, no, times are different. It's very difficult. I love the sunnah. But it's difficult for me. I can't do it. So we make all these lame excuses. One of our elders said, but if you think, if difficult, sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that way of life, then all of us will agree. Who can disagree that the way of life Rasulullah is akmal, most perfect? Who can disagree that it is ajmal, most beautiful? If my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a beard, then that was beauty. That was handsomeness. Allah chose that for him. There was nobody more handsome than him. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anh says, if the friends of Zulaykha, who were so captured and captivated by the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, if they saw my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they would not only cut their fingers, they cut their hearts open. Ajmal. His way of life, Ajmal. Who can deny that his way of life is ashal, most easy, chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. This is going to be your zahir sunnat. This is going to be your libas, your clothing. This is going to be your attire. This is going to be your batini sunnat, your internal sunnat, your internal way of life. So it's a complete system. So one of our ulama, mashayikh, they say, if you say difficult, difficult, everything is difficult, he said, then your maut also become difficult. At the time when the malakul maut comes, then to read your kalima will become difficult. Because you do not follow the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was perfect, most perfect, the best way of life, the only way of life for success, for success and salvation. And we found excuses for that. And we worried about blending with society and pleasing everybody else. He said, your qabr will become difficult. Your hashar will become difficult. Poor sirat will become difficult. Your entry into jannah will become difficult. Hadith of Rasulullah SAW, kullu ummati yadkhulun al-jannata illa man aba. Every ummati of mine shall enter jannat, except that person who refuses to enter. Ajib. Rasulullah SAW saying, every ummati of mine will enter jannat, except that person who refuses to enter jannah. Qila, wa man ya'ba ya Rasulullah? Sahaba wa shakt. Ya Rasulullah, who will refuse to enter Jannah? All of us want Jannah. This Jannah, but you're refusing to enter Jannah. Rasulullah explained, man ata'ani dakhal al-jannah, wa man asani faqad aba. That person who has obeyed me, followed my way of life, then he shall enter Jannah. That person who disobeys me, does not adopt my way of life, then he has refused to enter Jannah. This jannat in front of him, all he needs to do is follow my way of life and he gains entry into jannah. But he has refused to adopt my way of life and he has found fanciful interpretations and different type of ta'wil and excuses. So then he has refused to enter jannah. May Allah enter all of us into jannah. May Allah give us the true sunnah, zahir sunnah, batin sunnah. We've got so many sunnahs to bring into our life. When you talk about sunnah, there will be two types of people, two groups of people. There are those who in their heart will feel, I'm following the sunnah. And the others will say, me, I'm very weak, I'm not following the sunnah. So let's look at both. Those who say, I'm following the sunnah, how many percent of the sunnah do we have in our life? One or two aspects of sunnah, alhamdulillah, every sunnah. No matter how big it may be, no matter how small it may be, the entire world and whatever it contains can never equal the value and qeemat of one sunnah. Impossible. But if we look at the kitabs of sunnah, the English kitab also, and look at our way of life and our daily life in the morning, afternoon, evening, and all our activities, we will realize so many sunnahs we have abandoned. And those again who say there's no sunnah in my life, I'm weak, then I explained already. Until you don't have that himmat and ihtimam, remember this word ihtimam. Ihtimam means that genuine concern that, oh Allah, I love my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, I want to adopt that way of life of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, you give me the ability, tawfiq, and give me that fikr and concern so I can bring into my life every day some sunnah that eventually, inshallah, I will be living my complete way of life in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are many sunnahs missing in my life, your life. As the Thani Rahmatullah Ali Ajib, we talk about these mashayikh because they lived practical lives following Quran and Hadith and Sharia. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, I mentioned the incidents because they lived a life that is a role model for all of us. And therefore we will quote our Salafi Saliheen. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali is traveling with his wife on one occasion from Tana Bawun. They're going somewhere. They're traveling and suddenly they come to a place like a jungle area. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah stops, looks around, tells his wife, ek sunnat chut gayi hai meri zindagi mein. Tamanna hai ki usko bhi main pura kar lu. There's one sunnat. I didn't get a chance to do it. It's missing in my life. I wish to fulfill that sunnah today. What was it? He looked around everywhere, left, right, in front, behind. He saw there was nobody. Nobody was around in the jungle. He told his wife, it was a sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he ran a race with his wife Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And Nabiya Kareem was alone with Sayyidina Aisha. He sent the Sahaba away. Nobody was there. Not walking and running races with your wife in public and whole ummah is watching. She may be in her cloak also, but the whole figure is being shown. So he says, we ran a race, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Just because he said, Rasulullah Sallam ran a race with Sayyidina Aisha twice in his life. Once, the first time they ran a race, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anhu beat Rasulullah Sallam in that race. Years later, when they ran a race again, Nabiya Kareem Sallam then beat her. He said, Aisha, tit for tat. Today I beat you because that time you beat me. They ran a race. Sunnat. This was the niyat. Dr. Arifi, Abdul Hay, Arifi Rahmatullah Ali was the Sheikh of Mufti Taqi Usmani, Mufti Rafi Usmani. He was the Khalifa of the Thani Rahmatullah Ali. And he's mentioned about him that all the time his fikr was sunnat, 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 sunnat. At night after Isha he goes home. And perhaps his grandchildren were staying there or they were not staying there. They come to visit their dada or nana. And they come running to him. He closes his eyes for a second, ponders. Then he embraces and hugs them. And then when he was asked, he said, I quickly pondered and I thought that my master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would enter his house or in the masjid and Hassan Hussein radiallahu and his grandchildren would run to him, he would love, show them that muhabbat and he would embrace them and hug them. I did this pondering that this is the sunnat of my beloved Rasulullah sallam and therefore I'm fulfilling this sunnat with my grandchildren. How many of us, our mind even went to that? We show love to them, mashallah, excellent. But it is the sunnat of my Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do so. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah Ali, on his deathbed, or last few days or moments, last few moments of his life, suddenly the desire to make wudu. He had khuddam, khadims assisting him. At that moment, he was very weak. So they make the wudu, but he's not happy. Why? They forgot to give him the miswak. Immediately he asks for the miswak. And he makes miswak. Why? This is the sunnat of my beloved Rasulullah Sallam. Even in that condition. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, the uncle of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali, founder of Tabligh and Dawat, also in his last few moments as he's passing away, it is mentioned that he could not speak then. His tongue had become very heavy. It was difficult for him to speak. Now he's looking towards his feet and indicating to his khadims, the attendants, towards his feet something. So he was wearing socks. So the khadim began to pull his socks out. Immediately he folded his legs and pulled it up. Again he looks towards his feet and he makes ishara to them. So again they try to pull his socks out and he pulls his leg up. Happens a few times. Now they, I can't understand. There's nothing else they can think of. He's wearing socks. Maybe he's feeling hot. So immediately they call his son, Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, Khandalvi Rahmatullah Ali. So he comes in, Abbaji, kya hai? Again he makes ishara to his feet. So he says, yes, yes. My father doesn't only have his socks on. Remove it. So they try again. Again he lifts his leg up. Then Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, a man who also had sunnat in his life, Father had sunnat in his life, realized that we are taking out the wrong leg first. Instead of taking, removing the left leg, the left sock first, we are pulling out the right leg. Even in this condition, my father does not want to go against the sunnah. So remove the left leg first. They did that, and Hazrat remained still, and then they removed the right leg. For us, it might seem, ma'adallah, small. This is not small. Look at the books of hadith. When the Prophet wore his shoe, right leg first. Removing, take out the left leg first. In some places, especially in India, where the masjid ends, then immediately is the road. There's no place like how we have to remove, shoe removal area, we're sitting and benches and things like that. So you're coming out of the masjid, and immediately you're going to put your shoes on. So some of the ulama were concerned that you have to come out of the masjid with your left leg. Leave your right leg inside the masjid. So when you're coming out of the masjid, your right leg is still inside and your left leg you're going to take out. But at the same time, you have to wear your right leg first, right shoe first, and then the left shoe. So what are we going to do? I can't find any answer in the hadith kitab because there were no incident of this nature that the masjid came out and then you had to do this. Somebody said the only person we can see is Hazrat Gangohi Ramatullahi. And we go ask Hazrat Gangohi Ramatullahi. In fact, you see, we don't have to ask Hazrat Gangohi Ramatullahi, Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Ramatullahi, because his life was full of sunnah. Let's watch Hazrat what he does. So they watched. After Salat, they're watching him. So he came out of the masjid, right leg inside the masjid. He takes his left leg, shoes are placed for him there, and he takes his left leg and places it on top of his leg, left shoe, not inside. Then he removes his right leg out of the masjid, and then he puts his right shoe on first, and then he puts his left shoe on. Look at that. Both sunnahs he fulfilled. He came out the correct way, and he wore his shoes in the correct way. Like this, our Kabir, Buzuhanidi, in their lives, you'll find among the salient features in their life, in all of them, whole lot, you'll find ulama, ittiba'i sunnat, following the sunnat. Muna Muzaffar Hussain, rahmatullah alayhi, of Kandla, very great Buzuhan. He's traveling, and he sees an elderly person has got all parcels and goods and a heavy bag, and he was weak. So Mawlana went immediately and helped this man and carried his parcels, his bags for him. So he asked him, where are you from? So Mawlana said, I'm from Muzaffar, Kandla. He didn't tell him who he was. So this person said, you know, there is a very great Buzruk there. His name is Muzaffar Hussain, Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain. Oh, what a man he is, and such a wali of Allah he is. Mawlana didn't tell him anything, just kept quiet. Mawlana said, okay, maybe. Just like that. And as they're coming, suddenly some people, students of Mawlana, or some people who knew Hazrat Mawlana, Hazrat Mawlana! And they came and embraced him. It was then that this man realized that this is the person who I was talking about, is Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain, rahmatullahi himself. It happened 2 or 3 times, a similar thing. And then he said, it's nothing. The man began to cry. Began to embrace him. Hazrat, what you did? He says, it was the sunnah of my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ He will carry the burden of people. One is the goods also, physically. He will carry the goods. In fact, some ulama have mentioned a story that there was a woman amongst the kuffar in Makkah, and when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preaching, giving da'wah towards Islam, and we know the rumors that he has changed the religion of her forefathers and he's swearing over idols, etc., etc. So she decided to move away from Makkah and go somewhere. She said it's going to be bad luck and things are going to happen because of this person by the name of Muhammad and he's causing disunity amongst the people. So she's leaving and Rasulullah did not know who this woman was or what she was saying. But he saw, he sees this elderly woman, she's moving and bichari, she's got her goods with her. So he goes and he helps her. And as they're walking, she tells him, you're such a kind person, beta.
I would like to tell you one thing. There's one person in Makkah now, because of him I'm leaving. He asked, who is he? She said, they call him Muhammad. And he is now causing such disunity amongst the people, and he's come with a new deed. And she said, stay away from him. Better, this is my nasiha to you. Stay away from him. And finally, when they reached where she had to go, she asked him, better, what is your name? He says, my name is Muhammad. The same Muhammad you spoke about. Ulama have mentioned that she embraced Islam. So my respected brothers and sisters, the system of sunnah, ittiba'i sunnah, this is what we have to bring into our lives. Until we don't do this, that glory, that respect, that azmah that Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain enjoyed, that respect will not come. Again, I mentioned that this kami of iman, kami in our love for Rasulullah SAW, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is why we are refraining, we are abandoning the sunnah. We're feeling ma'adallah shy, difficult to perform the sunnah. But if we have kamil love, naqshe qadam nabi ki hai jannat ke raaste. Following the naqshe qadam, the footsteps, the way of life of Rasulullah SAW, this is the way of jannat. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. You follow the sunnat, you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jusama radiallahu ta'ala, he was sent by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala to go to Hiraqal at that time. When he went there, so obviously this delegation came, so he made him sit on a nice chair. And so Jusama radiallahu ta'ala sitting on this chair. And after some time he looked, he realized it was a golden chair. And as I mentioned, the story of the ring, it's not permissible for men to use gold. So he jumps off this golden chair. The king says, are you going to bewakuf or something? Hey, golden chair. He says, no. My Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prohibited us from using this. Kamil ittiba of sunnat. May Allah ta'ala give me himmat, all of us himmat, tawfiq and hidayat to make amal. Let's start from the simple sunnats in our life. When we're eating, for example, Hazrat Umar bin Abi Salama radiallahu anhu, a small child, little child, sitting on the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَكَانَتْ يَدِي تَطِيشُ فِي السَّحْفَةِ. He says that my hand, as a small child, got a plate, is wandering around the whole plate, taking from here, taking from there, making a mess. Rasulullah sallallahu taught me, I was a little child, sitting on the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu Sammillah, say Bismillah. وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ, eat with your right hand. وَكُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ, eat from that side of the plate which is closer to you. Small child. Immediately, a small child, what an impression in him, that lifelong they follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us look into our lives. If we have some sunnahs, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as I mentioned, it's not just a few selected sunnahs that we take, and famously we'll ask, but is sunnah to eat something sweet or salty before or after meals? Alhamdulillah, follow the sunnah, whatever it is, eating and sleeping, whatever, but our entire life, or mu'amalat, mu'ashara, or akhlaq especially. Last week, you would recall, I mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, of Anas radiallahu ta'ala, he says, Ya bunayya, in qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsiya wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li'ahadin, faf'al wa thalika min sunnati, wa man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani, wa man ahabbani kana ma'iyya fil jannah. Oh, Anas, if it's possible for you, in other words, you should do this, that in the morning and the evening, you are in such a condition that you have no malice in your heart for any person, then do so because this is my sunnah. And that person who loves my sunnah, loves me. Whoever loves me will be with me in Jannah. So start from the beginning. Start from small step. Take the sunnah kitab and start. Okay, I've got this 10 sunnahs for sleeping, or 11 or 12, whatever it is. Okay, I've done this, this I do, this I don't do. So let me try it today. In the beginning, there will be that mujahada. But for who are you doing it? Because you want your life to be in conformance with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is our role model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِيهِمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The best role model. If we have a kurta that we want to sew, or ladies have some cloak, abaya, or a dress for Eid, whatever it is, you got a nice out kurta you for your nikah, or walima, or for Eid day, and you take it to this tailor, and you give him a sample kurta your size. My pocket must be like this, the buttons, the studs, whatever it is. This is my length, this is my measurement, there's a sample kurta. And he sends your new kurta back with his own measurements. He saw this, your the pattern of your pocket, but he didn't feel like doing that. He found that difficult, so he left it. One sleeve also is not even sewn properly. The measurements are not accurate. How angry you become? I gave you a sample. All you have to do is just follow the sample. Why did you make your own measurements? We become angry. Imagine, my respected brothers and elders, what we are doing in this world is trying to follow that way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we may present ourselves before Allah in a complete and perfect way. Won't Allah become naraz with us? That your way of life you have brought in front of me is deficient. The sample I gave you of my Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you did not follow the sample. You brought your own thing and came. He was a model example for you. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq, our mothers and sisters, our daughters and sons, the entire ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah guide us, protect us. We have no time to talk about the current affairs of the dunya. It is absolutely alarming, frightening. We do not know what's going to happen next and when. Bring back the sunnats of our beloved Rasulullah SAW into our life, and then we will see the thamarat, the fruits of it in this world, qabr, hashar, and qiyamah, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayat wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.